Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
At the club, club team. I guess I just have to swallow it and go with it.
It's a lot of information, so...
I would agree.
They are who we thought they were.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
Don't forget to show love.
Let's hate, man.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
Finally, but not last, the Torminants.
Yeah!
Okay, coming up here, guys, we have Parenting Fears 101.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm intrigued by this.
You've talked about this before, but this fear that the boogeyman is hiding behind every bush to snatch your kid, you know?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about more like walking in and seeing something you don't want to see, which is like my number one fear.
Oh.
Yeah, the parent, and I do run across this all the time because my parenting style is a little more laxed, I think.
Free range.
Free range. I raise my kids free range chicken style. I do not want them to be
terrified.
There
are benefits to that.
Yes. And like, it's just my view. I do not want them terrified of the world, but it amazes me how many parents, and not that my way is right and your way is wrong. Far from it. Different strokes, but I am amazed at how scared in general we are in this country about life. Just parents, kids. And it comes because kids get scared because their parents tell them the world is such a scary place. It baffles me. And that idea of the stranger danger might be the most fascinating thing. The idea that if you don't watch yourself, you're just like, we act as if like every other day in your local town, someone's being kidnapped. And it does happen. I mean, obviously the Horman situation, right? Although we all, you know, pretty much know that that was not a stranger. And that's my point. 99% of the time these things happen, it's not a stranger, it's someone you know, it's a parent, it's a friend. But we're all conditioned that just at any given moment, someone's waiting. Like if you leave your door open at night, leave your door open once, someone's walking in and they're murdering your whole family. No, they probably just want your TV.
So I'll tease this, we'll do this next segment, but I'll tease this by asking this question. How long do you think you have to leave your child unattended outside for them to get abducted? Because they have done...
Really?
They have done the study.
How is that even possible?
We'll tell you.
So you're telling me that if I leave my kid in one... Like, if I just leave them in my front yard, at some point, someone's going to come along and abduct them.
No. You're misunderstanding. What they're saying is... What I'm getting at is... For everyone who thinks that your child will be abducted the second you turn your back...
Yeah.
you will be stunned to find out how long you would have to leave your child unattended outside for them to get abducted. They have put a number on it.
I am going to be very fascinated by this. In fact, just last week, I had two friends of mine, family friends that I grew up with, a wonderful family. Their mom was moving. It was the last of them that were finally in Vancouver, and they're spread out over the country. I helped them move, and I didn't expect them. These two sisters, and they showed up at my house, and we were all sitting around talking and just kind of like, oh, what have you been up to? It's been a while since I've seen them. And so, you know, you start talking about your kids and all that. And my favorite part, because they are both these parents. We talked about this. But this very thing, because I didn't, like, my lights were on, my window was open, my door wasn't locked, and they were like, what are you doing? They were talking to me about, like, the Ring, like, the security cameras. So we had this very conversation. And my favorite part is when you get the paranoid parent like this, and you start talking to them logically, you start walking them through what it is they're afraid of, they don't have an answer for you. There's not a logical reason. They just say that they're scared. And you're like, well, why? What is it about it that you're worried about? And they can never pinpoint anything, because they're always like, well, how do you not freak out? And I flip it on them, and I'm like, what is it that scares you? Like, your kid walking to school, what is that that's terrifying to you? And they can never pinpoint anything. It's just this general weird malaise of fear they have. And then we do things to make us feel safe, but when you actually explain it to them, they realize you're not really safe. It's just an illusion that makes you feel better about your day-to-day life.
Well, they've probably watched The Strangers.
Yeah, where they just show up.
And if you've watched The Strangers, yeah, with those masks on their heads. Yeah.
Why? And then
that's terrifying.
My favorite line from that whole movie is the lady asks the killers, why are you doing this? And in a creepy voice, the girl looks at her and goes, because you were home. And it's that sort of fear, because she was saying, well, if you don't lock your door, someone could just come in and do whatever they wanted to you. And then I'll pause and I'll ask, okay, if someone's coming in while I'm home and the dogs are going to bark and you see the lights on, you see me on the couch and you're just going to walk in, you are walking in with the intent to kill me. Or at least you are going to have a gun or something. This is not just, hey, we're going to take your TV. You are coming in with a horrible intention. And they'll be like, well, yeah, of course. And then I ask the question to them, if that's the case, you've now armed yourself. You're ready to commit murder, right? This is your mindset. You are coming into the home and you are going to, if necessary, kill me, kill my dogs, kill my whole family. What's right next to the door? A big window. So if that's your intent, do you think they're going to come to the door, open the door, and be like, oh, God.
That's locked.
I was going to murder this guy and his family, and, you know, I was going to kill the 100-pound, American Bulldog coming at me, but, God, he's got the door, and now I can't do anything about it. But the idea that somehow locking the door, in your mind, you're like, well, I'm safe. No one can get in. It's just I don't know what that is. It's just parents and society, but we are so, so terrified. And then they're like, what if they just wanted your TV? Well, if they just wanted my TV, they're not coming in while I'm sitting on the couch. They'll go find a home where it's dark and that there's no cars out in front and the dogs aren't barking.
Deal is in. He says the worst thing that could come in through your front door are Mormons, and they knock.
Exactly. They just want to tell you about Jesus. They may not leave.
No. The worst is the vacuum salesman.
Ah,
right?
The Kirby
yes.
people.
Oh.
Yes. Don't let them in.
Do not.
I'll tell you what. I think I'd rather have a burglar than the Kirby people in my home. If you told me I'm upstairs.
That's definitely a debate.
Hey, someone is downstairs and they're trying to rob you of your TV, or someone's downstairs and they're trying to clean your carpet. I think I'm taking the burglar. I know how to deal with the burglar.
Let's stick with this. Okay, so I'll get this started and then we'll get you the number next. But there's an article on artofmanliness.com.
There's an art of manliness.
Yes.
All right.
Is the world a more dangerous place for kids than it used to be?
No.
And it talks about overprotective parenting. It is definitely not.
No.
Even though
we
think it is, or some people think it is. So why is it that people think that? Well, it's just based off of parenting fears and just human nature, right?
Yeah.
And we watch movies.
We have way more stories out there now that when something happens nationally, because bad stuff happens, we hear about it, and then the news guy always drops one of these. It could happen in your community next. Ah! I saw Dateline once. Someone got murdered. But this person said right here, they said 91% of all crimes against children are committed by someone in the family or the someone that they know or trust.
That's correct.
Yeah, we all
But we freak out about the 9%.
Yes, I'm here to tell you that you should be more scared, and this doesn't mean you should be terrified. You should be more scared of your neighbor. You should be more scared of the youth pastor. You should be more scared of the teacher. You should be more scared of the youth coach. That's who's doing something bad to your kid. Not the guy that's in the van, like, waiting around the corner with free candy.
So the Washington Post put out an article called There's Never Been a Safer Time to Be a Kid in America, and it looked at some of the measurables. And they looked at overall mortality rate of kids in the United States, and it's been steadily declining for 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first thing. Yeah. And that's due to better medical, more vaccinations, traffic accidents involving pedestrians or juveniles, they're down. There's just all these different things where everything is going down. It's never been safer to be a kid in terms of mortality rate in the United States. The rate of crimes against children have in most cases sunk to levels at or below those of the 70s, and the risk of a child dying from a crime, accident, or natural cause, which was negligible even 40 years ago, is even more so now. For a kid between the ages of 5 and 14 today, the chances of premature death by any means are roughly 0.01%.
Read that one more time. I want every freaked out parent. What was that one more time?
The chances for kids between the ages of 5 and 14 today, the chances of premature death by any means.
Any. And this would include violent crime, a accident, kidnap, anything.
0.01%.
0.01%.
Yes. And those rates are dropping too. So it says it's important to understand that even among the cases of children going missing, very few fit the category of what's called stereotypical kidnapping, where a kid is abducted by a stranger by force. Yeah. Among missing adults and children, 96% are actually runaways, with another percentage representing abductions by family members. 0.1% of missing person cases are, in fact, true stranger kidnappings.
0.1%.
0.1%. The percentage, as well as the overall chance of a child being abducted, has essentially held steady throughout the decades, standing at about 1 in 1.5 million. That's the chance.
I'd like to point out, no one wants your kids. You don't want them. Neither does a stranger. No one wants them.
So here it is. The chances of any one American child being kidnapped and killed by a stranger are 0.00007%. Put another way, by a British author by the name of Warwick Carnes, who wrote a book called How to Live Dangerously, if you actually wanted your child to be kidnapped and held overnight by a stranger, how long would you have to keep her or him outside unattended for this to be statistically likely to happen? Here's the question.
Wow. When we come back.
What do you think? Okay, I'll give it to you next.
I want this. Okay. I'm guessing this number is going to be astronomical.
So we'll get to that next. All right. Hot parenting talk on the fan.
Today, and here's to a better you.
Double sun power!
All right, we talk parenting. Fears of parents, you know. Abductions.
Oh, yeah.
That whole thing. Check the sex offender neighborhood map.
Yeah, gotta see where they're at. But you'll send them to church. You'll send them to Bible camp without thinking twice. Send them off to Cub Scouts.
And that's so right, because that is where the perps are.
Sure.
Right through there. And right? You don't know who they are.
Yeah, you let them go off on a football trip. You let them go with a bunch like that. Like, no one blinks
and
twice.
And that's kind of freaky because, you know, it's like, you know, you drop your kid off at summer camp. You do have that thought. You're like,
yeah.
There's a lot of people I don't know here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a breeding ground for perps.
Pervs. I would tell you that someone said, Suk, I don't think the expression safety first is in my kitchen. No, it's not. My expression is send it and, you know, live a little. You know, bumps and bruises are good for you. Well, but I will tell you that I am way more cautious about that. I am way more cautious about group overnight sort of things over the years. And you know, whether that's Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, church stuff, sports, way more vigilant about that than I am about my kid being outside.
What do you do about that? Like, what do? Call the parent and interview them? Hey, you gonna touch my kids? I mean, like, at some point, you're kind of at the mercy of trusting your kids that the parents are.
I am.
Remember that woman who played naked Twister with her friends?
Yeah, that's awesome. Or, I mean, all right, that's wrong. Don't do that. Yeah,
awesome. Shoot. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah.
The mom got drunk and fed them all booze, and they all played naked Twister.
I know. So like,
she got thrown in jail for that.
Yeah, there is an element of danger there, but I think to me, when it's come to that, I am way more, we're going to check things out and I'm going to go off of a gut feeling and a vibe, and you're not 100% safe. But I just know for me, I've been way more concerned and way more involved in that versus like my kid, just the idea of my kids. My kids have been very free to kind of come and go as they please over the years when it comes to their day-to-day activities. If you're talking about them sending them away or spending large amounts of time with a group or a coach or an adult figure, I've even gone so far as to tell my kids that under no circumstances do they have to be one-on-one with a teacher. Like, and it's more like that where I've talked to my kids where I'm like, if your teacher asks you to stay after class, you don't have to. If the principal says, come into my office, and you're not comfortable around your principal, you don't have to go in. I have told them that under no circumstances do they have to be one-on-one with an adult, that I don't care what sort of trouble, quote, that you are going to get in. You tell them to call me and I will deal with it. And I have had that before where my kid has said no to something like that. And that makes me feel good because they can stand up for themselves. What I don't want them to be is in a situation where someone of authority makes them feel lesser than and that they have to kind of bow down to them, because I think that's, to me, the more dangerous part of a kid-adult situation is where the kid feels helpless and that the person has power over him. So I've tried to educate my kids about that way more than walking to the store and getting kidnapped in a van.
But then you also get the scenarios, and I remember a few of these with my kid, where they're at a place or they're hanging with the kid who has maybe some other nefarious friends or some people that, or the parents aren't quite as engaged as you would like. And
sure.
Or just there are flags, right? Not a ton, mm-hmm. not horrible. So then you just go, bah, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. You know, yeah. I'm being a little too, overzealous.
I've had to do that a couple times where if someone's going to someone's house for the first time, I do like to try to meet a parent, and I think you can get a little bit of a vibe, but I like to ask questions. And I've had this before where I'll pose some questions to my kids about the Sipowitz over where they're going on. And there have been times where I've sat down with my kids and be like, I hate to do this, but we're not going over there anymore. They would like to come over to our house. Great, but...
What gave you the... what about the Sipowitzes gave you the red flags?
The one that comes to mind, the last one that I dealt with, maybe two-ish years ago, had met the mom, hadn't met the dad, divorce situation, and said, hey, can I spend the night at so-and-so's house? And the Sipowitz. And I was like, all right, you know, I've met the mom. Mom seems like pretty decent people. Kids seemed okay. And so dropped her off at the apartment, and it was the dad's apartment. And met the dad. And it was kind of one of those, like, I don't know him that, you know, I don't know him, but yeah, it seemed decent enough. The apartment didn't seem real crappy. But when she got back, I was asking about kind of what the, you know, what did you do? And, He was clearly drunk off his ass while she was over there. She talked about how he was kind of sleeping, and my daughter said he kind of was a little, she made him feel, he made her feel uncomfortable.
Oh,
and I was like, in what way? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, he was drinking a lot, and he was in and out of his room, and like, he wasn't wearing a shirt. And she goes, I just had a weird thing. And I said, well, to me, if your kid has a weird vibe over at someone's house, and you've got a guy on the first time and he's clearly drunk. And I was like, well, was he having a beer? She goes, no, he was drunk. And I was like, all right, well, that's poor judgment across the board. And, you know, whether I was being judgy or not, I'm like, we just don't need to do that anymore. And so, like, those things, it's like, yeah. To me, it's not that hard to just say, right. Hey, there's other places we can go.
Okay, so the chances, so it's never been safer ever in the United States to be a kid.
Yeah.
The chances of any one American child being kidnapped and killed by a stranger are almost so small you can't see them. 0.00007%.
Yeah.
Percent.
That's ridiculous.
But there is a 7.
Of course. So what you're saying is there is a chance.
So put yet an even better way, if you actually wanted your child to be kidnapped and held overnight by a stranger, how long would you have to keep them outside unattended for this to be statistically likely to happen? What do you think?
I'm guessing so many years the kid's an adult by the time this rolls around. I don't know, like 3 years.
Mike?
Wow. 0.00007?
Yes. Four zeros.
I'm just, that's an insanely small number.
I know.
I like the years guess. I'm going to go even higher than that, though, Sug. I'm going to say 7 years.
7 years. 750,000 years. 750,000 years. Statistically speaking,
that's what you'd have to do.
You could put your kid outside and try to get them abducted.
Yeah. Just a sign, take me, please.
750,000 years, you leave them out there, and then it's likely to happen.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And yet, this is what, as parents, this is what we're terrified of.
It is, but then what you also have is you have the other side of it where the parents say, us becoming more diligent is why those numbers are the way they are.
I don't believe that for a second. You know why those numbers are low? Because most people aren't murdering bastards. It's just that simple. There's some bad people, but most of us aren't murderers. Most of us aren't serial killers or sex predators. We're just not. But that's what we're terrified. That's what we're terrified of. And we're terrified about the wrong thing. Again, church leaders, overnight trips, people of authority, they groom victims. Like, those are the things that to me that I get it. Like, that, I get parents that are being vigilant. This is another true story that happened not too long ago. A friend of my daughter's was over, and there is a Target from my house about a mile away. And on the way to that Target, there is a New Seasons, there's a Whole Foods, although that shut down, there's a gym, there's a movie theater. It's not a real bad area, right? There's a nice public park with some nice homes. You're not walking through the middle of the south side of Chicago. It's not. And they say, hey, can we go to Target? I said, sure, you want me to drive you? And they said, no, can we walk? I was like, yeah, absolutely, whatever. Hey, when should we be home? And I think my response was, be home before it gets late, and be home before it's dark. You've got two cell phones on you. Knock yourself out. Like, here's $5, buy me some Skittles. The mom, who I've met a handful of times, seemed like a nice enough person, shows up in her Subaru Outback, gives an old rap on the door there, and says, hey, here to pick up the kid. We were in the neighborhood and thought I'd pick her up a little early. I said, sorry, not here. What? Where are they at? Oh, they went to Target. And immediately the eyes get big. She's not happy about, I have a level of nonchalance that she is not appreciating. And she says, well, did you drop him off? I said, well, no. Well, how did they get there? Well, they walked. And just at that moment, you could tell that the fire engine was running in the red.
Mm.
Not happy at all. And I was like, when are they supposed to be back? Oh, I just told them to be back. I didn't really give them a time frame or whatever. She just immediately picks up the phone and frantically starts dialing. Just dialing the number.
The kid.
And oh my God, the kid didn't answer.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yep. Just code red. Sky is
She's
falling.
Locked in a trunk somewhere.
Everyone's dead. All hell is breaking loose. And she just is panicked. She's unhappy with me. She's heading to the car, and she's just gonna go about 110 down to the Target. And I respond with, I can try my daughter. Say, take out the old cell phone, call my daughter. Oren, yeah, where are you guys at? We're at the Target. What are you doing? Eating popcorn in the food court. Well, so-and-so's mom's a little upset. Might want to tell her to call the mom. So she calls the mom, and that didn't even calm down the mom. The mom still gets in the Subaru Outback, hauls ass out of my neighborhood down to the Target. Needless to say, she is not. She's not a frequent visitor to my household.
So the girl can't come back to your house.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you let him walk to Target?
Yeah, I let him walk to Target.
Mm.
Like, well, at like 4:30 on a weekend down a nice road and sunny. And
don't you think that
you
woman...
You know what the worst part about that was? I didn't get my Skittles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, then she came, picked them up. And
don't you think that woman as a kid walked to Target, you know, like... rode bikes or just was out on her own with friends, right? Don't you think that happens?
One would.
So what has changed? What is that? What has changed? Is it just the news cycle?
I don't know.
Scaring people? Is that what it is?
I don't know. But I will tell you that there are, not all, but there are plenty of parents that I've encountered during my parenting career that are very much like that. And it baffles me because I always think about it. What kind of kid are you raising? Like, what are you putting in yes. your kid's mind about right. what the world...
And there's danger in... That's right. And there's danger in not letting them experience things, too.
Yes.
And just get out there and, you know, play.
Yeah. So
play in the dirt.
I am one of those...
At Target.
Yeah. I would rather my kids have a realistic view of what's out there and have some bumps and bruises. And look, you gotta... You keep it between the navigational buoys.
So was the ironic thing... Yeah, I'm with you. 100%.
Yeah, like I try to. My whole thing is I try to keep my kids from falling off the cliff. But as long as that doesn't happen, what happens in the middle, dude? There's gonna be goods. There's gonna be bads.
Was the ironic thing that Jared from Subway is the one that dropped him back off at the house?
He just shows up. He's like, hey,
here's your kids.
What's going on? Huh?
See, I told you.
Yeah. Still wish I would have gotten those tropical Skittles. Oh, those things are good. Way better than the regular ones.
All right, how about this for a bank heist? Next, here's Mike.
Embark on your weight loss journey now at betterutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
Someone did remind us we need to get your list of movies that you'll be showing at Zedale Yards.
I will do that tomorrow. I was actually putting this together on the last two nights, and I want to say that I've got six that I feel really good about, and then there's like another 10 that I'm playing with. But I've got the list pared down to a very manageable number to try to come up with a 10.
Okay, that stemmed from what we were talking about in the news the other day, that Zedale Yards is hosting like this kind of makeshift drive-in movie.
Yeah, a series of movie nights. And their list is atrocious.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
It's an embarrassment to movies.
So we said, all right. Remember, you got to appeal to all shapes and sizes.
Well, like,
put together your list.
They're doing like the... they're doing like a socially conscious one because they're doing a documentary, right, to kick it off about John Lewis, right? They're doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stick kind of, I looked at what they did, and so I'm trying to kind of follow, like, if this is the pattern they want, right? They're picking movies for a reason. I am picking much, much better choices that people would actually enjoy but fill kind of the same role of which they're trying to achieve.
Can't wait to hear it.
Yes.
Bring it. Bring it, bitch.
Tomorrow I will have... We will
6 o'clock.
We will rock you on a Friday.
I've got it in the notes.
In the club.
All right. Bank heist. This is in Iowa.
Who doesn't want to be part of a bank heist?
It sounds so meaty, doesn't it?
I know.
You know?
Like, I know it's not. I know it's not anything like the movies. And I don't want to, like, anyone to die. And I certainly don't want to go to prison. But if you told me that I could do, like, a virtual reality something with, like, no consequences, like a Groundhog Day, you better believe I'd be involved in a bank heist.
So this guy's name is Mark Gray, and he is a 39-year-old man in Iowa. He is now a convicted felon after he broke into an Iowa bank, a Security National Bank branch, and he stole its sanitizer, hand sanitizer.
What?
That's what he got out of the... That is what he took.
He's facing a felony over hand sanitizer.
That's right. He used a tool to smash the glass door of the bank... Then he entered into the lobby and stole the hand sanitizer from the bank, and then he ran. No
what?
Joke.
What?
No joke.
Huh? Is that the worst bank robbery of all time?
Unfortunately, it's probably not, because I'm guessing there are many bank heists
that just never
where they
get
got,
off the ground.
They didn't even get hand sanitizer, and they probably died. You know? He got the hand sanitizer. His hands were clean when they booked him.
Wow. Yeah, you know, there's easier ways. You can steal from places like Walmart and they won't even stop you. So why not steal hand sanitizer from them? Or is this a case of you got cold feet and you're like, oh, I can't do it, I'm going to run away.
So, and then get this. So then they interviewed him. the police.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so he also burglarized a counseling agency and a restaurant.
All right.
And they said, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing, Mark? Why are you doing this? And he said that he was searching around for things of value, mainly money, that he could steal. So I want you to think about that. He was in a bank.
And a counseling center.
A bank, a counseling center, and a restaurant looking for money. And from the bank, he stole the hand sanitizer.
Boy, drugs are a hell of a thing, aren't they?
Boy, you ain't kidding.
I mean...
Boy, if that's not... Yeah, that is so true. If that's not an indictment on drugs, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean... Boy, that... I don't even know what to make of that. Like, if you're a cop, you're just like, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Like, at that point, just...
This is why cops are probably... Or, you know, they're just... This is why... They see these types of people every day.
Sure.
No wonder they can be jaded.
This is what you deal with.
You know?
On a day-to-day basis.
This guy
now,
right here.
I gotta ask it. Like, if you break into a... Like, a bank's... Like, that's a big no-no. Armed robbery bank. If I break into a bank, but I don't take anything, is that... Is that as serious as if I, like, is that just like breaking and entering, or because I'm breaking into a bank, do I still get charged with bank robbery?
It's a good question.
You know, it's like if I just break into a bank and then I sit there and someone shows up and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, just hanging out. Like, I didn't take anything. But a lot of times, like, if you go in, like bank robbers aren't successful, I don't know how all that operates. Do I have to actually steal something, or is it just breaking into a bank, it's assumed that I'm an armed robbery, or that I'm committing robbery as opposed
to Google wins
in.
Again.
Yeah.
Bank robbery can be charged whether or not a weapon is used. Simply taking any money or property from a bank also falls under the federal crime of bank robbery.
Okay.
If the value exceeds $1,000, it is a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison.
That doesn't answer though, like, but I don't steal anything. I just break in. I just kick in the door and I walk in. I think
that's breaking and entering.
It's breaking and entering, right? I didn't steal anything. I'm just there. Which is kind of, so if he had not stolen the hand sanitizer.
Right. He'd be. Not,
yeah, he's just like.
But he broke into two other places too.
That's true.
So, yeah, Mark Gray. Out there in Iowa.
I got a buddy of mine that's a state trooper. And he was telling me he had this one just during this whole mess. And he said, pulls a guy over. Speaking of just, again, drugs being a hell of a thing. And pulls the guy over. He said it's like 2, 3 in the morning. He said the guy's all over the road, right? Just swerving. So he pulls him over, walks up, and, you know, hey. You know, see, swerving on the road a little bit. Guy's wearing no clothes other than a pair of boxer shorts.
Mm.
No shirt, no
running
pants.
Running for smokes?
No shoes, and something is hanging out of the boxer shorts as well. So... Ask the guy, can we put that away? So the guy's very apologetic. He,
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I'm normally way more modest. So he
says, all right, we're okay. And so he asked the guy, he said, you have anything to drink tonight? And the guy says, no, sir, not at all. And so my buddy says, okay, have you done any drugs? And he says, the guy looks at him stone face right in his eye. And his response to, have you done any drugs, is absolutely. My buddy was like.
Those two laughs almost happened at the same time. That was pretty good.
Anyway. Let's grab that. You want to grab that? Let's go listen to that again.
Yeah, I'll grab it. You want to grab it, Rob?
What?
Yeah, Rob does want to grab it. What? He wants us all to grab it. And then the guy proceeded to tell him all the drugs that he was on. And I do believe that he was on all the drugs. It was really just he painted with a broad brush.
Speaking of cocaine and staying up all the time.
Of all the drugs that he was on. And he said the guy couldn't have been nicer and more affable about being arrested.
So he got arrested
Yeah. But he said the guy was great. He's like, you know, after the, you know, all the sobriety tests and all that, he's like, I'm going to arrest you now. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, I know. He goes, yeah, yeah, you're going to arrest me. He's
like, shocker.
Couldn't have been any nicer. The guy just was like, yep. And wow. he was like, when he was asking him where he was going, he was convinced it was like six in the evening. He did not understand that it was the middle of the night. He had taken a nap and kind of Rip Van Winkled it and didn't fully understand.
Oof.
Yeah, drugs.
Drugs, Danny.
A lot of drugs. I wish I could have been there to see. You had anything to drink? No, sir. You done any drugs? Absolutely.
All of them.
Which ones? All of them, officer. All of them.
All right, John wraps it up next on The Fan.
Past the hip, and everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on Big 1080 The Fan.
How about that? Nobody seems to know. Before we get to John, I want to play that again. Okay,
laughs
so we
unite.
We have Big Sook's belly laugh, which you hear on the show. And I played that at the same time you were just laughing last segment about the...
have you done any drugs?
All of them.
Absolutely.
And here's the overlay.
And
how
then
about
you,
that?
And then you come in at the very end there.
Did I?
Yeah.
You got to do a little Brock
giggle? You get a little Rob at the end.
Hey, what's going on, big fella? Hey, recruiting with Andrew Nemec coming up next. So stay tuned for that. What's going on?
Nothing. That laugh was fantastic, though. Yeah. That's well done by you guys.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. Hey, we're great.
Now, yeah, I've said this before on your program,
yes.
And I don't remember if it was accepted or if it was controversially or not, but based solely on movies and TV that I've watched, I am 90% certain I could rob a bank and get away with it.
Whoa.
That's a terrible idea, but I'm interested in you expounding on it more. Let's go.
I'm not going to rob a bank. I have no desire to rob a bank. I'm simply saying, based solely on all the movies and TV that I've watched, you see good ideas, bad ideas, you see what works, you see what doesn't, you kind of mix it in a little bit. You got to pick it. Like, I wouldn't go into downtown Seattle and rob a bank. I'd go out into the middle of nowhere and rob a little bit. I think I could get away one time. I think I could get away with it.
Now, again, I'm going to need what do you define as robbing a bank? Getting away with anything or getting away with a significant amount of money?
What about hand sanitizer?
Not hand sanitizer.
Three bottles of hand sanitizer and one of those pens that they chain down to the desk so you can't steal it. I'm making sure I take that.
Well, this is true because here's my thing. Like, if your whole goal is you just have to get something, it would be very easy to go in and wait till it's a busy time, right? Wait in line, and as soon as a cash drawer got opened up, if you just ran, punched the person, I'm sure you could grab some cash. And the easiest way is to just run in, grab something, and leave. But if you're talking about pulling off a heist, John, there is zero chance your big ass pulls off a heist.
I'm not saying a heist. I'm not tunneling into the vault. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that I've seen enough movies. I think I could go in if I picked out a certain bank and I staked it out for a little bit. I think I could get away. I think I'm smart enough to get away with it.
You're getting less than $1,000.
And by the way, get away with it, meaning get out of there with money and eventually not get caught?
Because I don't know if you've seen yourself, John, but you're an easy mark to pick out.
Not necessarily. There's giant people walking around all the time.
And you're famous.
Everybody's wearing masks nowadays. Like I said, I wouldn't rob a bank in Portland. I wouldn't go downtown Washougal and rob a bank. I'd go in the middle of nowhere somewhere, and I'd pick out a small branch, and I'd go in. I'd hit up the teller, one or two, leave there with a sack of cash. I think I could get away with it.
Boy, I don't know where you think that.
I don't. You've watched Hell or High Water too many times. You are not the Apache and the Lord of the Plains.
I don't have to run away. I don't have to. It's not a marathon out into the desert to get away. You have a getaway car right there, and I'm out. And then you switch. The key is switching getaway cars.
That easy, huh? All right. Well, I would love to put this to the test.
Yes, I wish we could have some sort of like scenario. Like if there's like some police training out there where they do. I would love to see you attempt this.
Well,
John.
I have heard that. I don't know if this is true, but haven't you always heard the old adage that at banks, if somebody points a gun at you or what you think is a gun, like maybe like through the shirt,
they just let you have it.
They're supposed to like just give you the cash from the drawer, right?
Yes.
Right. Is that what you're preying on? That you think that they'll just hand it over and?
Well, I don't think they're gonna. I mean, if I pick the right place, I don't think they're gonna fight me for it. It's not their money. I'm not tunneling into the vault. But, I'm just dealing with a teller or two.
Okay, but here's the question. What are you going to... First of all, are you going to have a gun?
Well, I'm not going to give away my whole plan on the radio, Rob.
Okay, but you can't do a finger gun. I'm doing one through my sweatshirt right now. Look at that, Sook. Does that look like a damn gun? It looks like a finger.
You got a finger gun. Your
so
field of dreams in it right
if
now.
If they say no, you go in and you say... Or, you know, you do your bit. Well, I don't know if you put on a show. I don't know what you do. And they're like, and they just stand there.
Dressed like a clown.
And they just stand there and they don't give you anything. What are you going to do?
That's the discipline, Rob, is you leave and you try it again at a different bank.
God.
Boy, I don't know. This is a hot take. This is like Will Darkins thinking he can take down a hippo. It's a hot take.
I'm telling you, I think you could do it. I don't want to. I'm just saying. I've seen many of high school kids and I'd be like, I could pull that off.
Well, maybe when you were like 20 and you were spry, John, but I think you'd pull a hammy or you would trip or something and you'd get hungry and stop and get a chicken sandwich.
Again, well, first of all, I'd eat before I robbed the place, so that would eliminate that whole thing. Look, I'm already 2-0. I'm just saying, I wouldn't run to get out of there. I'd have a getaway vehicle. All right.
You're high. Have a good night.
All right, see you guys.
There he goes. John, and that's why we have him on.
John Robin Banks.
There's no, I mean, come
no.
on.
No way. No chance.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec is coming up next. So keep it here. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Spain. Friendships of Spain.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.